Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Today we want to talk about living a balanced life in Christ. How many times have you done things that you really knew down deep inside God was not telling you to do or leading you to do? They could be wonderful things, great ideas, they might even help other people, but because you really didn't feel the leading of God to do them, you began to feel overwhelmed and overburdened, and even got to the point where you just got burnout. Well, today I'm joined by Rick Renner, senior pastor of Moscow Good News Church and the director of our Russian office. He understands the implications of burnout because he's been there himself. Well, Rick, it's so good to see you all the way here from the former Soviet Union.
It's always good to see you, Joyce.
Of course, our viewing audience can't see your beautiful wife, but she's here in the studio. We love you, and Denise, you're great.
Thank you.
Well, I know that a lot of people today watching are tired, They're weary, they're worn out. I can just sense that many of them feel like they're in a trap that They don't know how to get out of. They feel like they're doing too much, but they don't know what they cannot do in order to make more room. And I've had my own experience with living an unbalanced life and getting burnout and getting physically ill, and I know you've had one too. So tell us what happened to you.
Well, 6 years ago, I had a real revelational moment in my life. Denise and I were ministering in two different countries every week. We pastored in Moscow, and we pastored in Kiev. So we were flying back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And honestly, Joyce, we didn't even know where we were. We were like two ships passing in the night. I would walk in, and Denise would say, "Where have you been?" And I would have to think, let me think, where did I just come from? Rick, do you know where you're going? I can't remember where I'm going. And there was such a disconnect. And emotionally, I began to what I call flatline. It's like I didn't have any ups, I didn't have any downs, which in one way that sounds healthy, but we're designed for some ups and downs.
Right.
And it was like I just flatlined. And Denise kept saying to me, "Rick, you have no emotions."
It's kind of like a little machine just buzzing along.
I just became a machine. Stand here, say that. And in fact, even our church in Moscow, which, you know, the thing is, Joyce, in the middle of all this, everything was blessed.
Yeah.
The church was blessed, TV was blessed, everything was blessed, the books were blessed, but I wasn't blessed.
Yeah. That's a very good point. You know, it's wonderful if everything we're doing is blessed and if we're blessing other people, but if you're miserable, I just decided a long time ago, if I could not enjoy being in the ministry and enjoy the work that I do, then something was wrong. And I've even talked to numerous pastors. I remember one time doing a meeting, and I asked for all the people that were in ministry that were not enjoying being in ministry. They felt called. They wanted to do it. They believed they were supposed to do it, but they weren't enjoying it, to come up for prayer. And I thought I'd have a few people. I mean, I was overwhelmed with the number of people that came up. So I think that's a very good point. Everybody else can be enjoying what you're doing, but are you enjoying it?
I was trapped. I didn't know what to do. My life was not in my control. Everyone else was telling me where to go. In fact, I mean, they were literally saying, "You need to be here, you need to stay here, you need to stand here and say this. Okay, now you need to be here, you need to stand here, you need to say this." There wasn't even any thinking involved. It was almost like I was the marionette.
But I think it probably is good to say, like you said, your life wasn't in your control. And I know that feeling because I felt like I got to that point too. But we have to be responsible to say that we did let it get there.
We did.
You said yes to those things at some point and started doing them. And then we give responsibilities to other people. And then it just gets to the point where, you know.
Well, for me, the big revelational moment came when I took Denise to Athens for her birthday. So she and I were sitting at the table together, and we weren't exactly having the greatest time. You know, when you don't spend any time together and you're just living together, but not really living together.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, Denise, tell me, what would you like for your birthday?" Oh, I'm so sorry I asked. And she said, "Rick Renner." And when she says that, I know something's coming. "If we're in the same country on the same day, I would like to have 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And when she said that, it really hit me. Mm-hmm. And Joyce, that night, I took her to dinner. And now this will show you how out of control I was on my schedule. We are celebrating Denise's dinner in a beautiful hotel in Athens. She thinks that it's just me and her. All of a sudden, the door walks, opens, and in walks all of our television crew. And they're taking pictures of me and Denise. And that's when she found out that the next day when she went back to Moscow, I was staying in Corinth in order to do some television filming. She looked at me like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm going to go to that airport by myself while you're going to go do filming. And things were just out of control.
And, you know, I'm sure that there's lots and lots of people watching today, moms and dads and factory workers and office workers.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, they're not in ministry like you and I are in ministry, but this problem can seep into anybody's marriage.
Sure.
Into anybody's relationship with their children. And I think especially sometimes people don't even take the time to spend, they don't spend any time with God, and they're certainly not spending any quality time with themselves. I say a lot of times, I stay out of a lot of trouble because I have meetings with myself. You know? Yeah. Sometimes you just need to book a meeting with yourself and say, okay, I'm running like a crazy person. Why am I doing this? What's the fruit? Mm-hmm. You know, has God been done with this a long time ago? Am I just doing it to impress somebody?
Well, I came home from that trip, and I said, Denise, let's go into the bedroom. So we went to the bedroom. We closed the door. We got up on the bed to talk, and I began to acknowledge. I mean, it was one of the hardest talks we've ever had. Acknowledge what I've done wrong. Acknowledge where I've been not the man of God I should have been. Acknowledge that my time with God is not what it should have been, or we wouldn't have been in this mess. And Joyce, acknowledging is one thing, but acknowledging is only the first step.
Yeah.
I had to repent.
Right.
And for me to repent meant that I had to dig into the deepest part of my soul, because my soul did not know how to say no. Mm-hmm. I said yes to everything.
And then we have to ask ourselves, the deep question is why? Am I doing all of these things?
I didn't want to let people down.
Didn't want to let people down. And, you know, I've discovered, and I know you know this too, that God really doesn't care too much about what we do. It's why we do it.
That's right.
If our motive for what we do is not right, mm-hmm. then it's useless and worthless. There's no reward for our works if our motive is wrong in doing it. And a lot of times, Rick, and I'm sure you know this too, a lot of the reason why we have a hard time saying no is we're insecure. We want everybody to like us, to approve of us, to think we're great people. Mm-hmm. We don't want anybody angry at us. We don't want them to disagree with our decision. Mm-hmm. And I've had to learn that any time that somebody wants to hear yes and I tell them no, they're not going to like it. But if they love me, mm-hmm. if they love me, then they will give me the freedom to make my own choice, and they'll say, I totally respect you for following the peace in your heart, even if they don't get what they want.
Well, I was under self-imposed pressure.
Right.
Because I felt like if I didn't do what everybody asked me to do, then I was going to fail someone or disappoint someone. And Joyce, honestly, I mean, when we begin to do this real review of our lives, well, first of all, you know, to bring correction, to acknowledge what you've done wrong, to repent to the depth of your bones. And I mean, that kind of repentance is so powerful, because you've got to look at what you've done wrong and acknowledge it. And then you've got to bring correction. Mm-hmm. And in my particular case, because of my character, I knew I needed help in bringing correction. And so I called the men who really are on our board of directors, and they flew to Moscow and sat down with me and Denise. And they said, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to do this. 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 You're going to sit in this house. We have a beautiful house, which became my prison for 6 months. And God is going to do a work in your heart.
Because you were actually, just to make sure our viewers understand why this was so vitally important, you were even having physical and emotional.
Oh, it was awful.
Trauma from this. In a way, you had like a mini type of a complete breakdown mentally.
I wouldn't say many.
Many. It was big.
It was big.
Huge. Yeah.
I mean, I was holding on to my Bible for my dear life, and we began to build a structure, a new structure for our lives.
That's good. That's very good.
But during that time, I had to review all the things we've done. But I would have to say a lot of what we did, good works, but not ordained by God. Somebody else should have done them.
That's so good. Well, you know, we are going to come back in just a minute and talk about this some more, but I just want to encourage you to really take a look at your life, at your schedule, at your health, at your emotions, at your relationships. And if you hear yourself complaining about your life all the time, you are really the only one who can get some order in your life. God will help you, but you need to be willing to do what Pastor Rick is talking about. Take that inventory, take responsibility, be willing to make the changes that you need to make. So please don't go away. We're going to come right back. Welcome back. You know, we've been talking about living a balanced life in Christ and choosing carefully what we spend our time on based on the priorities that we feel that God has given us for our lives. I emphasize God because just because something's a priority to me doesn't mean that it should be a priority according to the Word of God. So Rick Renner, senior pastor of Moscow Good News Church and the director of our Russian office, is with us telling us about his experience. Well, Rick, you told us that basically you just fell apart from overwork.
That's right.
From being out of balance, from not knowing how to say no. So we want to talk about what you feel people need to do to begin to get back on the right track. So I've got a little list of some of your things here. And first of all, you talk about putting God's Word or putting God first.
Joyce, He wasn't first.
Yeah.
I was so busy doing things that my Bible was, I'll get to it later.
And how ridiculous is it to be in full-time ministry and put God on the back burner?
And Joyce, I'm an author like you.
Yeah.
I mean, I write books. People are reading my books.
Telling other people how to spend time with God.
And so the first thing I did was I made the commitment. Now, this is a pretty tough commitment, but I made it that if I do not read my Bible first, then I will not eat that day. Well, you can tell by looking at me.
You've been reading your Bible. That's good, Rick.
But you know, Deuteronomy 8:4 says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah, that might drive a lot of people to read their Bible.
But Joyce, think about it. If most people ate food the way they read their Bible, they would be in intensive care.
That's right. When I sat down this morning to spend my time with God, and I'm so grateful that I'm addicted to it now, I don't know, for me to not spend my morning time with God would be equivalent to going out without any clothes on. I just wouldn't feel right. And I, just as I was chatting with the Lord, I said, well, I'm going to sit down here and have some spiritual food, feed me, teach me something. I want to learn. So it is. It's really food for your spirit.
I get up, get my cup of coffee. I get my Bible. I walk to my chair, which is where I meet with God. And in Psalm 5, verse 2, it says, in the morning, Lord, I will lift my voice and I will look up. Well, when my emotions were so affected at that moment, I was looking down. Even though everything around us was blessed, I was not blessed. My soul...
Were you having problems with depression?
Oh, horrible, horrible. And Denise would say, honey, this is good in our life. This is good in our life. But it didn't matter what she said because... And I honestly believe my brain chemistry had been affected.
Oh, I do too.
It depleted myself.
In 1 Peter 5:8, and God put this scripture in front of me 35 years ago when I first started studying the Word in the Amplified Bible. It says, be well balanced, for your adversary the devil roams about like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone that he may seize upon and devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Well, the greatest open door in our lives many times is just simply being out of balance. And that it's hard to get people to realize that because they think, well, it's this big thing and it's this big thing and it's that big thing. But God is never going to give us more to do than what we can do with peace and joy.
And there's always a big thing to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're controlled by that, it's every day there's something else. And so I just had to draw a line where I said, no, I'm starting every day with God. And I began to sit down with my Bible, and Joyce, before God, I'm telling you, I began to feel in my brain almost like, the only way I know how to explain it is it felt like molecules moving in my head. I was bending my brain so hard to the Word of God because I knew, Rick, you've got to get the Word into your mind if you're going to recover from what you've been
through. It's our only help and our only hope, really.
It is.
I've been reading Psalm 119 for the last few days. It takes a few days because it's 170 verses.
Yeah.
And over and over and over and over, the psalmist David talked about your word, your word, your word, your word, your word. It's a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. I will meditate on your word. I will study your word. I will eat your word, you know, over and over and over. And people really need to understand that the Bible, it's really more than, sometimes we think, well, it's just the Bible, you know, but it's our life.
And it's healing.
It's healing to us. The word heals your soul. It heals your mind. It renews your mind. And so whatever the case, people need to put God first. I know we got a lot on the list here, so we're going to move on. The power to say no. Tell us about that.
Well, it's liberating just to look at somebody and say, no, no.
And
thank you. That was a nice invitation. I don't feel led to do that.
And what do you have to be willing to face when you do that?
I had it last week. I had a man say, you will come to Africa before the end of this year. And I said, no, I will not. I've already told you no, and I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. I am not coming to Africa this year. He was like stunned. But you know, you have to draw the border, and you don't want to be unkind. But you know what? If you give all of you and there's nothing left of you, you didn't help people. You've just crippled yourself.
And what about having people that you, in your life, that you respect enough to hold you accountable? There's not much of that today.
Well, Joyce, we have it.
That's good.
And in fact, when this happened in our life, I said to Denise, I said, well, the moment has come for me to prove what I believe. All my life I've taught submission to authority. Now the moment's come. Mm-hmm. And those men stepped into our lives. They told us what we could do, what we could not do. And Joyce,
for your good. They weren't just trying to run your life. They did it out of love for you.
They were trying to restore.
Because really, you were at the point where you couldn't make good decisions.
And they helped us.
Yeah.
And you know, I was not at a place where I was going to make right decisions. I wasn't thinking right. Because when you're in that position, you have fear. For instance, you cancel all your meetings for 6 months. You disappear for 6 months. There's a lot of fear. Well, what's going to happen if I disappear off the face of the earth? These men said to me, Rick, it's what you need to do. You know what? Their guidance was like an anchor for me. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't just advice that they spoke into my life 5 or 6 years ago. These men are still speaking into my life. I thank God for these men.
That's good. Well, the next thing you have is reevaluate everything that you're involved in every area of your life.
Well, I learned that 85% of what we do, maybe you've heard this before, somebody else can do. 10% of what we do, someone else can be trained to do.
Wow.
And the remainder is what we do. Well, think about that, Joyce. You've got all these people working around Joyce Meyer Ministries. Most of it, you don't need to do. Part of it, you could train somebody else to do, but the part that you do, nobody else can do that part.
Yeah.
The part that I do, nobody else can do that part. And so rather than give myself to what other people can be doing, I'm regularly reviewing to make sure I'm doing that part that only I can do.
Well, John,
and that also liberates everybody else.
That's right. That's right. Because God gives you people with gifts and talents. And if you don't use them, then you stifle them and they get unhappy. Mm-hmm. And want to go somewhere else.
That's right.
I mean, you can actually see that in people's lives, but it's also very biblical. God told Moses, why are you doing all this by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use these people, you're going to be unhappy, and they are too.
Well, in our case, when I stepped back, everyone else stepped forward.
That's right.
And guess what? We've never had to return to where we were because they all stepped forward. We're stronger now, and Denise and I are... We're the guides of the ministry. We're what we should be, rather than doing all this other stuff that we should have never been doing.
That's exactly right. Well, we're so grateful that you came on the program today and shared so openly.
Thank you, Joyce.
And you look a lot better than the last time I saw you. You look healthier. You look more rested. And
Thank you.
I'm grateful for the changes that you've made.
Thank you.
And so just as we close today, we're going to ask Pastor Rick for just a prayer for you that you will get your life in balance. Rick, just pray for the people real quick.
Father, we pray today for people that the peace of God would guard their hearts and minds. Lord, that you would give them the sense to know what they should say yes to and no to keep them from the fret and the anxiety of life.
Yes.
We thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you have a wonderful rest of the day, and make sure that it is well balanced, in Jesus' name. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what comes against you, no matter what challenges you have, you can do whatever you need to do in life through Christ who strengthens you. God never promises us a trouble-free life, but He does promise to never leave us nor forsake us. I don't have to live in fear. God is on my side, and I get to give God my problems, cast my care, go on and enjoy my life while God works on my situation. Don't be afraid of things. Learn to take your life one day at a time. Trust God. The Bible says that God chose you on purpose because He loved you. Every day of your life was written in His book before you ever breathed one of them. He knows every decision you're going to make before you make it. And He still says, I love you unconditionally. I will never give up on you. I will work with you and hold you and watch over you. God loves you. Let me tell you something. When you're in the lowest pit, God can have His eye on you. And God, His arm is not too short that He can't reach down in your pit and lift you out. What you're going through now is a moment in time. It's not going to last forever. This too shall pass. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how long it takes. Don't you dare give up in the silent years. Suddenly, God is going to break through. But I know that I know that I know that the Word of God is true and that He changes lives and He gives you a life worth living. And no matter what anybody has done to us or said to us, no matter what has happened to us, you are not hopeless and you are not helpless, because there is a God that is alive who loves you, personally loves you and wants to help you. And so really, when you get right down to it, it's just all about Jesus.
You mean more to us at Joyce Meyer Ministries than you may ever know. We appreciate you, and we thank our friends and partners for making this worldwide ministry possible. Together, we're feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, and presenting the gospel to the nations. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org today to share your prayer requests, find out more about our resources, see Joyce's conference schedule, and to join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.